This week, we have had an MSC real estate takeover on our social media channels. So who better to speak to than the programme leader, David Hourihan. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy.
What we are going to discuss today is your career in the industry. Earlier this week, we published your programme leader blog, which summarises your career so far. Quite often people go into real estate due to family connections, but that wasn't the case for you. And you even mentioned how school wasn't really for you. So how did you follow the path into real estate?
When I think back, it's a funny thing. This would be back in the late 80s, a long time ago. But I think what I was first drawn to was seeing the residential market and seeing agents doing what felt like very interesting work. And I'm very much a people person. I love engaging with people. So I think that was the initial interest. As you say, I have no family background in real estate. But there was the basic interest. I just wasn't sure where to begin with it, I guess, in those early days.
So how did you begin? What was the first step into the industry? And then if you could afterwards, maybe talk me through your career from that point on?
The first step, academically speaking, into a diploma course, undergraduate diploma course at a college in Limerick in Ireland. I've close family ties with that region, Limerick and the west coast of Ireland. And so I went there, studied for 3 years, loved it. It's a great place. And during that time, I went on work placement in a small estate agent's office under the guidance of a great individual, William Talbot, in a town called Nina in Tipperary. So loved that experience as well. And he was very inspirational as an individual. That's one thing, actually, I would say over my career, there have been some key people like William Talbot, but then also another John Oliver Costello in Dublin, who I worked under. They've been hugely inspirational to me in terms of wanting to develop further, wanting to have a better understanding of the wider market. So yeah, initially started with a diploma, then got opportunity to work, which wasn't easy at the time. Back then, the jobs market in Ireland, it was a very subdued economy. There weren't many jobs. So I've always looked back and was hugely appreciative of the opportunity to get started with Talbot's and Costello Commercial back then.
Mm. And you mentioned, you know, inspirational people and that you're a people person yourself. So is that a real trend throughout real estate, would you say?
Yeah, it is very much a people industry. And yeah, you will come across fascinating people. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, the deal making, the looking for opportunities, the angles to take a property, look to protect its underlying value, but then looking for opportunities to add value to it. I find that fascinating. And yeah, there's been some key people over the years, both in Ireland. I moved over to work in London in 2002, and again, was working in a much wider market, which I had no previous dealings with. But again, loved the challenge of that and the scale of business there, and the individuals that I came across there, and the openness I found to me as a relative outsider to come in and get involved, and the people I worked with were great.
Mm. And you say you started at Talbot. So where did you move on from there? I mean, you mentioned London as well at some point.
Yeah, so. I worked in Talbot's. So they are a country practice while doing my studies. It was a kind of work placement after completing. And the really funny thing about that diploma was that I actually failed an exam one summer. It was a real low point, I suppose, in my studies. I messed up an exam. It happens. And so I came back and resat it. It did spur me on, though. That was in year two. In the third year, I came out second best in my group because it gave me such a kick sideways when it happened. But it's that inner resilience that you call on, I guess, when those things happen. Did the diploma, came out, got a great result. That then allowed me to get a job at Costello Commercial, who have a great reputation in Dublin. I worked there, qualified as a surveyor quite young as a result of their support, then moved on to work with a firm that subsequently became CBRE in Dublin, a great company. Reached a point then by 2002 that I felt kind of, I got itchy feet. I wanted to spread my wings a bit further, work in a bigger market. And yeah, the opportunity arose to move over to work in London, and initially joined Colliers, great firm, focusing on retail parks. Coming to that market with no prior experience of that market, I really struggled to kind of say, well, where do I begin with this market? I don't know values, yields and rents and sale prices. So the easiest way into that market, I felt that at the time for me, was managing property management. And I started on retail parks and quickly upscaled into shopping centres. Worked with Colliers, who were very strong on retail parks, then moved to a firm called Nelson Bakewell, which subsequently were subsumed into Capita. Worked with them, great company, very well organized in sort of small mid-range shopping centers. Then used it as a bit of a stepping stone to join another really good firm, Jones Lang LaSalle, and worked with them. I then reached a point where I wanted to get out of London for family reasons and moved up to work in Birmingham and moved over to another firm, Drivers Jonas. Again, this time also shifting my focus into valuations, because I'd not, while doing my studies, further studies with UCEM on property investment, I wanted to get more exposure to valuation practice. So did that, and they were a great firm. They've since been subsumed into Deloitte. You know, so really good. That was a really good experience to work with guys there. And again, some inspirational people there. I've mentioned Edwin Bray was a great guy, and Adam Reed were two great guys I worked with at that firm. So yeah, again, it spurred me on to do further studies, complete my master's. Did try to start a business myself while also then becoming an academic. It was a difficult time to do that, though. And so while I was initially a part-time academic, the opportunity then arose for me to come in full-time. And so I kind of transitioned during a difficult market into academia full-time. And that was, what, nearly 10 years ago. So that in itself is a bit of a funny thing, in that I guess career-wise, it's best always to keep an open mind in terms of not to focus on just a kind of have a blinkered approach to I must become this type of person. Just be able to keep an open mind and look for opportunity when challenges arise. We are in a difficult market at the moment, what with the lockdown and so on. So that's going to generate challenges for everybody. But it will also create opportunities, and it's just to be alive to those opportunities is important, I think, for someone who's looking to develop a career in real estate.
Yeah, and thank you for taking me through the trajectory of your career. I mean, you did. There's a lot to fit in. I mean, you mentioned for me to take a look at your LinkedIn profile to familiarise myself with what you've done. And you know, what's striking is that aside from posts you've had, which you've just talked me through, there's all the extra activities which you've taken on. So these include, as you mentioned previously, your MSc, and that was in property investment. You took a postgraduate diploma with us, so UCEM, and you're a fellow of the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, the Higher Education Academy, and the Society of Chartered Surveyors Ireland. Your current commitments alongside the day job are external examiner, a contributor to training courses, and involvement on the Investment Property Forum. So with all these things you're doing, you sound, well, you're clearly very driven aside from everything you do with us. And I suppose particularly with the self-motivation, which has to be there when you do study with UCEM, you know, what drives you, and what advice would you give to students in that respect?
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where inspirational individuals, John Oliver Costello in Dublin was very inspirational in terms of his professionalism and his approach on professional standards and ethics, and also the sense of lifelong learning. And I think that's really what's been behind what you see in my LinkedIn profile, this kind of interest in different areas and going back to study from time to time. I'm even as we speak, I'm trying to look at how I can do further studies in the form of a doctorate. It's taking time. It's not a small commitment. So it's just a sense of wanting to broaden my own knowledge base, but also contribute to the industry in a positive way. And for me, contributing to the industry, the best thing I can do is instill really strong professional and ethical standards in the next generation as they come through through the students. So I think that's what ultimately drives me. It might sound a bit corny, but that's ultimately what it's about for me.
That ties nicely into, you know, discussing your role as program leader on our MSc Real Estate program. Why should people sign up to the program, would you say? And who typically does the program benefit?
Yeah, it's a postgrad conversion degree for individuals with first degrees already, non-cognate degrees. So essentially what that's about is that if you find yourself having done a degree, but now working in real estate in a practice, and wanting to develop a career path in real estate, in commercial, it has to be said primarily commercial, but residential as well. If that's your interest, then this program is perfect for you, particularly if you're in full-time or part-time employment and are not near a university to do a program in that way. What this program offers is flexibility to be able to study while working. It wraps around your personal and work life. And the program itself is very broad in terms of its content. But that it has been designed purposely for that reason, because the industry we work in is very diverse and broad. So if you look at the modules in it, and bearing in mind, each module is standalone. So if you're unsure about coming into the program, why not dip your toe in and just commit to one module? Any one of them you can do and see how you find it. And if it's doable, then you may feel more comfortable. I'm quite confident that anybody who tries one module will be bitten by it and want to come in and do the rest of the program. And there is this thing of building up. It's like building blocks. You can build up in terms of the number of modules to get a certificate, get a diploma, and if you complete out the entire program, you can come away with the postgrad degree. So I think it's a great program in terms of its offer. It also has huge recognition in the industry. And that's partly due to who we are. UCM, we're 100 years plus now in existence. This is what we do. It's our specialism. And all the big employers, not just in the UK, but internationally, know who we are and respect us for what we do. So if you have a degree from us, it will count. I know that from personal experience. When I moved over to the UK from Ireland, I had two qualifications. One was from UCEM, and that's what secured the post for me. That's what got me started in the UK, because employers recognised that qualification. So yeah, it really counts, and it can lead you into agency, buying, selling and letting, valuations, property management, investment management, even research analysis. We saw you and I, Andy, had a situation there recently where we came across a recent graduate who's now doing very well in the field of research. Again, it's quite mixed.
Yeah. So there's very diverse careers which you can move into having studied with us. And, yeah. You know, importantly, it's the feedback we receive from our students. So, you know, what feedback have you had since becoming a program leader with us?
Well, I get various forms of feedback. I'm also a module leader. So if I begin just by suggesting the most, I suppose, obvious form of feedback I get, it would be at module lead level. I run undergrad and postgrad investment modules. And at the end, quite frequently at the end of every semester, having run an investment module, I will get students who privately come back to me and thank me for the experience and knowledge that they've gained from studying those investment modules. So that's really always very nice to get that bit of feedback. It gives me a great lift personally to see that sort of acknowledgement from my students. As a program leader, I love the sort of feedback I get as a program leader. It shows itself at graduation day. We get a lot of, particularly international students, fly in from the likes of Hong Kong, the likes of Lagos in Nigeria, for instance. It's quite amazing to see people. And when they come in, my students, I love walking, you know, Andy, the graduation day. We walk in as academics into the hall. And for me, it fills me with great pride to see my group of graduates there. It's just an amazing feeling that I've never had that experience from working in industry. It's quite unique. And then beyond that, just finally, I love the goodwill our graduates show us after they graduate, which is a form of feedback, I suppose. I often ask them to speak to anyone else who's interested in joining our programs, just as a sort of hear it from the students' direct sort of feedback. And funny enough, Only that recently I had an inquiry from an individual with a leading firm that we would know, a household name, but based in Hong Kong, asking about my program. And I put them in touch with a recent graduate who I knew was based out in Hong Kong. What I didn't know was that they actually worked in the same building for two different companies, but it was just a funny coincidence and just shows you how small the world is that we work in nowadays. And any past graduate, past student of the program that I've approached in the past, no one has ever said no. They've always been really generous and shown us great goodwill in terms of offering to give their views on the program. And that word of mouth is hugely powerful, I think, in terms of how our programs are promoted out in industry amongst people in the industry.
So, yeah, I mean, you do get a lot of great feedback, which is great. And also, I think another part of it is that you see these students then move on into great roles within the industry. And I know LinkedIn is a great way of staying in touch and seeing how they're all getting on. So is that perhaps the thing you enjoy most about teaching? Is it seeing those students then progress to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've pretty much hit it on the nail on the head for me in that sense. I do really enjoy from the top, we talked about it being a people industry. So I do enjoy engaging. I connect with a lot of people via LinkedIn, past students, and it's lovely to see how they progress. And it gives me a bit of a kick when I see an update from them saying they've now been promoted or they've now completed their APC. I like to think that we have contributed to that, which is great to see. The other aspect to my work, which I enjoy, is the evolutionary nature of my work. Our programs are constantly updating themselves through our work behind the scenes to basically keep track and keep ahead of the marketplace and catch trends that are happening there. Also, as a final point, it's worth pointing out something that's hugely important is I really enjoy working with the people at UCM. There's so many people here that are passionate about the work they do and how they support each other and the wider community. The work that goes on behind the scenes, it's that kind of thing that you don't see. It's not obvious to the wider market, but I see it. I'm in the middle of redeveloping modules at the moment with the design team, and I'm really impressed with the ideas and the freshness of ideas that they're coming into the redesign process. That's brilliant. I can only do so much as an academic. The support I get from the design team, the admissions team as well, in helping applications, the assessments team, you guys in marketing as well, and the B2B team. There's so many people that the academics arguably are the most visible part of the institution in the eyes of the students. But actually behind us, there's a massive team which make the whole thing possible. And I enjoy that interaction. The IT team should also get a mention as well, the support they give us all. So, yeah, it's a great place to work. And that adds greatly to my sense of achievement and my enjoyment in working and teaching.
And I would echo that. It is a great place to work. And obviously, you know, it certainly helps when you've got happy people working in an organisation, then, you know, we're going to be working more effectively. And, you know, the key for us and what we're all working towards is that student success, which obviously you guys are fronting on that. So just as a final and a quick question, because I know you were keen to have a little say on this. I just want to ask, what are your hobbies away from work?
How much time do we have? cycling is my main thing. It's actually the modern day version of golf in our industry, real estate. I've become really addicted to cycling. And there, a couple of years ago, I bought a very expensive Italian bike, which I won't go into too much detail on. But yeah, I love it. I love getting out, cycling around. But the Berkshire region where I live, it has some amazing, beautiful countryside, and at this time of year the weather is amazing, we're in lockdown, even during that time it was a great way for me to get out. And we talk about, last week was Mental Health Week. For me, cycling is a great way of staying healthy physically and mentally. I think it's just a great way of just clearing my head and just getting out there. I'm sure you're very sporty as well, Andy, I know. So I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, if I owned a bicycle, I'd relate a little bit more. But I do love it when on holiday, say going down to Cornwall and grabbing a bike and going out there. So I think it's, as you say, it's very important, particularly for everyone's mental health. And it's that whole thing of work hard, play hard, isn't it? So so as you say, cycling seems to be something which is very popular within the industry at the moment, and there's plenty of events which go on, charity events, and a really good way to sort of link the organisation, the industry, and get various organisations meeting up and people from within those organisations sharing and networking. So
we have our own UCM jersey, which we proudly wear. We have joined a number. There's a group of us, about five or six of us within the organization, who are quite keen cyclists, and we've joined a number of events over the years. So it's great fun. You learn a lot about yourself. It's physically a tough sport, arguably, but you learn in terms of what your abilities are and just how much you can achieve if you give it a go. So yeah, I love pushing myself on the bike. It's very enjoyable.
And pushing yourself in your career as well. So very good. Yeah. So thank you for your time, David. Really great chatting to you.
No, thank you.
And if you would like to ask David any questions at all about the MSE, you can join the open hour he is running next week. So go to our website, ucem.ac.uk, head to the webinar section on the left-hand side menu, and you'll find a link which you can join and takes you to the open hour. And so thank you for listening.